Let's go to Buckinghamshire now, next, and Claire is waiting to talk to us, having been diagnosed with celiac disease 3 years ago. What's your question, please, for poor Ciclatera?
Oh, hello. Firstly, can I just reassure your previous caller, and a good way to get to know what breads are more palatable is to contact all the makers, and they tend to give you a free sample box with lots of all the different products in.
Good tip.
So get a list from the doctor of the providers, and you get to sample and find out what's best for you.
Good.
My question, I had two. One is about whether or not there are degrees of severity of celiac disease, or is it just black and white, you've got it or haven't? And the second was to do with weight gain and weight loss as a celiac.
Okay. What about your own degree of severity? Is it a big problem for you?
Not at all. In fact, similar to your previous caller, it was only through, chronic fatigue and consistently low iron levels since having had my daughter that the doctor got onto the idea of celiac disease. I've never had stomach problems. And in fact, even now, if I inadvertently consume something with gluten in, I don't know I've done it, whereas my sister, who is also celiac, will get a pretty quick and painful reaction.
It is interesting that, sorry, just to interrupt, that there's a bit of a paradox. I guess if you're talking about an inflammatory condition in the gut, common sense says that it would hurt, you would have abdominal symptoms, but both you and Stan are saying, no, that's not the case. So let's ask Paul about that and whether there's a whole, if you like, a whole range of symptoms, and the degree of severity of those symptoms is also quite wide. Mm.
Your question really was, are there degrees of celiac disease? I think the answer to your question really is that celiac disease is a clearly defined entity, but different people have different degrees of symptomatology. For example, previously, when I was an undergraduate, the prevalence of the disease was thought to be 1 in 1800 of the population, and virtually all the presentations were in infants at about 4 to 6 months, or around that time, where solids were introduced into their diet, and when they had gluten, and then they developed symptoms. Now, those are clearly relatively severe cases. Now, in Stan's case, which we've already heard, as someone who's presenting at 81, and the evidence would suggest that this is a lifelong condition, obviously has a lesser degree of symptomatology than the young person. But to extend that also into to compare you and your sister, if you, in the research studies, because my group does a significant amount of research in this area, if you took 10 people with celiac disease and gave them gluten in over a short period of time, roughly half of them would have symptoms and the other half would not. And this is evidenced by yourself, that you've presented with anemia and tiredness, whereas your sister, you infer, actually presented in, or clearly has symptoms with gluten. So these are different spectrums. And we now, our spectra, that we have a situation where the increased use of screening blood tests have shown that the prevalence of the condition is of the order of 1 in 100 of the population. So this is clearly a very common condition.
Well, can I ask what's going on, whatever the symptoms you may personally experience, Paul, with someone diagnosed with celiac, what is the underlying pathology that is cause for concern and that means that you have to go on a gluten-free diet so as to avoid some of the consequences to your health further down the line?
In the definition of celiac disease is an abnormal biopsy of the small intestine. That's the part of the intestine just beyond the stomach. And it's, in my opinion, very important that people actually have the definitive diagnosis. And you get a flattening of the mucosa where you normally get little villi which look like sort of fingers, which allows for absorption of food products.
It's in the lining of the small
lining of the small intestine. And if those individuals who are affected take gluten, the villi become damaged and you get loss of the villi, so that the mucosa becomes flat and that there is a very considerable decrease in the amount of absorption of foods. And this results in, as you've classically described, vitamin deficiencies, and you've described to us that you get recurrent iron deficiency. And it's for that reason and others that it's very important that the condition is treated. And there can be other complications within the gastrointestinal tract, which clearly those are avoided by taking a gluten-free diet.
Claire, you also wanted to ask about weight loss.
Yes, and because I wasn't underweight to begin with, I know a lot of people have weight loss, which is another symptom. In fact, I was already overweight. But what I discovered, what I found was that since diagnosis, I actually put on a lot of weight in the first 4 months since being diagnosed. I put a lot of that down to the fact that I was finally absorbing things, and I'd obviously been, I don't know whether I'd been overeating beforehand to try and get some energy. And finally, things were being absorbed and put to good use, and my weight seemed to balloon. But also because I was not adjusting to a gluten-free diet and was turning to more convenient foods in the absence of bread, like crisps and things like that. But since then, I found it very hard to lose weight. And the dietitian advised me to avoid foods that were high on the glycemic index. But when I got a list of those foods, they seemed to me to be the staples of a celiac's diet, being sort of corn and rice-based products, baked potatoes and things like that. And the biggest problem, of course, is breakfast, because cornflakes and Rice Krispies are about the only things you can have in the cereal world, but they seem to be high glycemic index foods, so I'm now stuck as to where to go for things that I can eat that will help me in a diet.
Well, it obviously gets complex because because of the many issues involved, and clearly a dietitian really needs, need to see a dietitian, I dare say. But,
yes.
But Paul, in general, is there something useful you might be able to say to Clara?
Well, this is a common problem, and particularly in women where what's been happening previously is their metabolism has effectively become inefficient.
Yes.
And therefore they're used to taking more calories than they would normally require, and because you've got this regrowth of the villi with absorption, then much more efficient absorption of food, there is often a problem with weight increasing, and the only way to deal with that is to reduce the calorie intake. The other comment that I'd like to make in relation to the breakfast cereals is that I see a number of patients who actually have problems because patients with celiac disease, in my opinion, should avoid malted cereals, particularly cornflakes, because they contain significant amounts of gluten.
Oh, really?
Okay, thanks very much for that, Claire. And we'll move to another call. Sorry to have to cut you short there, but we'll go to Vicky, who's waiting in Leeds.